chapter 3 this evening. Book of Acts to see how Spirit-filled men and women of God in the Lord's churches went and made a dramatic impact on the world around them. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that these faithful churches turned the world upside down. And if our world needs anything today, it's to be turned upside down. Because what's right, what's good, what's proper, what's biblical, the world's the opposite of that today. And the world needs to be turned upside down. And the only thing that can do that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that can change a heart. It's the only thing that can change a life. It's the only thing that can change a family and a community. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what God has called. He established his church to do that work. He empowered the church on the day of Pentecost. He gave the power of the Holy Spirit to the church. And that power is passed on to the Lord's churches to do that work of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has given us a commission, and we cannot do that work without the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we see in the book of Acts. We see what happened, the acts, the action of the Spirit-empowered church. That's what you see in the book of Acts. And so I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit. We studied a little bit in Acts chapter 2 last week, and we're going to look a little bit here in chapter 3 tonight. And I would just encourage you on your own time at home, go back and read these chapters and catch everything in its entirety. And we will just kind of hit some very, very, very important highlights. But I want to back up just a little bit to Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, and we'll read into chapter 3. Acts 2, 46. If you're able, will you stand again, please? And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. Let's stop right there and pray. Father in heaven, as we come before you tonight, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you above all things for Jesus, who died for us and rose again. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be the church that you've called us to be. Lord, that we would be faithful in loving you and worshiping you, growing together in your grace and knowledge. And Lord, that you would help us to carry out your great commission. Lord, that as we go through our lives, we would faithfully share the gospel. Lord, we would faithfully support others who share the gospel around the world. And Lord, just help us to see souls saved and baptized and added to the church and growing so that they can reach others also. Lord, help us in our time in your word tonight. I pray your Holy Spirit would teach us, you'd convict us, and decisions that need to be made for you would be made tonight, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Tonight we want to look at an event here where when a couple of men of God had enough compassion to care about somebody else, it made a great difference in their life. When Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, were men that Paul said were faithful men of God. And what he said about them is he said that they were men who would naturally care for those who were at Philippi. And there's a thing that ought to be in the heart of every believer, everyone who's trusted in Christ, who's indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God. There ought to be something in all of us that causes us to care about other people. Amen. We ought to care about others. We have compassion on others. Jesus Christ, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And that ought to be what happens to us. When we see people, we ought to be moved to care about people, and not just to feel some kind of twinge of emotion, but to be moved to action. And that's what we want to learn about tonight. First of all, would you notice the plight of the needy man? We read in verse 2, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. So here was a man who was lame from his mother's womb. In other words, from the time he was born, his legs would not work. He spent his entire life, he was never able to walk, never. This little boy never learned to crawl. He never learned to toddle. He never pulled up on a chair somewhere or a table. He never did that, not his whole life. And now he's a grown man, and the only way he can survive in the culture of that day was for somebody to care enough about him to carry him up to the temple and set him down by the gate, the beautiful gate there going into the temple. He had to have somebody that cared enough to take him up there just so he could beg. That's the only way he could live. Listen, they didn't have any kind of welfare system. There was no EBT cards. There was no food stamps. It was just depending on the kindness of others who went to worship God. And the hope was, if I go to where the worshipers of God are, they'll care enough about me to give me a little bit of change so that I can survive. That was the condition that this man was in. What did he need? Well, listen, he needed strength in order to walk. This man who was lame and unable to have even the strength to stand up is a picture of the sinful condition of mankind today. You see, people spiritually are lame. They can't walk. Spiritually, they are completely incapable of taking care of themselves. And if you'll remember, that's exactly where all of us were without Christ. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 6 says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Will ye revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." And Isaiah is not talking about the physical condition of Israel. He's talking about the spiritual condition of unbelievers in Israel. He's talking about people who are sin sick without a Savior. He's talking about people who outwardly they're fine and physically they're fine, and maybe they got a good job, and maybe they got money, and maybe they even go to the temple to worship, but inside they're sick, sin sick, because they don't have a Savior. And listen, that's the condition of the world around us, friends. They are sin sick without a Savior, and they desperately need somebody to care enough about them to help them to be saved. The world around us desperately needs somebody to care enough about them to help them to be saved. Since Adam, mankind has been dead in trespasses and sins. It's important for us to be reminded of this, because too many times we just go through our daily lives, we see people. We see UPS drivers, and we see convenience store clerks, and we see waitresses and waiters at the restaurant. We see coworkers, we see classmates, we see family members, we see friends. But too many times we don't see what we really should see, and that's souls who are condemned to hell and who are in desperate need of a Savior. We need to open our eyes. He had no strength. But that's exactly why Jesus came, was for people who have no strength. As a matter of fact, Romans 5 and verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." You don't have strength to save yourself. You don't have strength to get yourself right with God. You don't have strength to overcome your sin debt. You don't have strength to make a way into heaven. But that's why Jesus came, because when we were without strength, He came and He died for us. And by the way, when he says ungodly, he's talking about us without Christ. And we don't like that very much, but that's the reality. We are ungodly. We are a sinful nation. We are a people that are laden with iniquity, and that's exactly who we are. We are sinners in desperate need of a Savior until we come to repentance and faith in Christ. And so he needed strength. He needed substance. He was a crippled man. He was asking for alms. He was asking for help. He was what you and I might call a panhandler. Right? You guys still use that phrase, panhandler? Listen, I'm not that old. Come on. We say somebody's panhandling. What do we mean? We mean they're standing out there with something to catch some money in. And we still see them here today. You can't live this close to I-40 without seeing it. Right? If you go to the city, if you go to Tulsa or Oklahoma City or a larger city and you go downtown, you'll see a lot more of it. See people standing on the street corner. You see people sleeping on park benches. You'll see people who are living off of whatever they can get from somebody else. And so this man needed help. Now listen, he was physically unable to take care of himself. He couldn't even walk. He couldn't work. He couldn't earn a living. He couldn't tend a field. He couldn't raise any crops. He couldn't take care of any animals. He could not work at a mill. There was nothing that he could do. He physically was unable to take care of himself, and so he was a man in great need. And we need to come to a place where we care about other people. And here's what we need to understand tonight, friends, is when we care for somebody else, we are caring for the Lord. Now, that's what he said in Matthew 25, right? Matthew 25, verses 37 through 40. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And the Bible's clear. Proverbs 19:17 says, He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. You get that? He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given, he will pay him again. Now, God will bless you if you're a blessing to others. Now let me help you out. I know how it is in our society today. We have so many people who are taking advantage of the system. Do you think that's true? Amen. I see people on a regular basis who could work if they wanted to work but refuse to work because they can get somebody else. They can get a check or whatever from the government. I see people who physically cannot work who are struggling to try to get help. And it seems like that the people who need help can't get it, and the people who don't need help get it readily. That's what it seems like, and I'm sure it's not always like that, but you know, that's what we see. And so you and I, we see these specials on 2020 where some guy is out there begging for money on the street corner all day with his little sign, help, anything helps, hungry, we'll work for food, whatever. People come by and give him money all day, and at the end of the day, they pack up their stuff and go get in their Cadillac and drive home. Anybody else seen those shows? Because I have. And so then we think everybody with the sign is just a crook. They're just cheating everybody. And so then we don't want to help anybody. And so we've got to understand, friends, we don't always know. We don't know. And I'm going to tell you this. I would much rather help somebody who doesn't really need it than not help somebody who really did need it. Everybody get that? Because here's what's going to happen. If I help somebody and if they were just a charlatan, if they were just a pretender, if they were just tricking me, God's going to deal with that. But if there's somebody who's not a pretender, if there's somebody who's not a charlatan, if somebody who really did need help, and I don't help them, guess what? God's going to deal with me. So if for no other reason, just put it on them. Right? Because we've got to balance this out. Because if you see somebody who has need, this world's need, he's hungry, he's thirsty, he's cold, he needs food, he needs clothes, he needs shelter, and you don't help him. The Bible says, how dwelleth the love of Christ in you? On the other hand, we also have scriptures like 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, that says that you have to work or you don't eat. I mean, there's a balance, right? We have to balance this out with the teachings of 1 Timothy chapter 5 that says, help those widows that are widows indeed. If she's really a widow, and she has nobody else to take care of her, and she's been a faithful servant of God, and she's not a busybody in other men's matters and all those things, then you help her. I mean, if you read 1 Timothy 5, you're going to find out the rules for the church about helping widows is very detailed and it's pretty harsh. Listen, if this woman's faithful to God, you help her by all means. If she doesn't have anybody else to help her, you help her. But if she's a busybody and she's just whatever, don't help her. That's pretty rough, isn't it? That seems so unchristian. But let me help you out with this, because God's word's always true, and we would do well to not judge God. Let me give you an example, a modern day example that might help you understand why you only help people who really need help. There was a man who wanted help from the church, and we didn't help him. You want to know why? We helped him several times when we cut him off. You know why? Because he admitted to me freely that he was a drug addict. He said, just because I'm a drug addict doesn't mean I shouldn't get help when I need it. And see, here's the problem, though. He was taking whatever money he got to buy drugs. And then he didn't have any food to eat. So the church would give him groceries. Because that's what we help people who are hungry. We give them food. The problem is what we've just done is enabled him to buy more drugs next time. Is that really helping him? No. And he's not a man who really needs help. He doesn't need groceries. He needs to stop buying drugs. And I just have an idea that if somebody gets hungry enough, sooner or later, they're going to have that choice before them. Either I'm going to eat something, I'm starving, I haven't eaten in 3 days, or I'm going to buy more drugs. Sooner or later, if somebody gets to that point, their stomach's going to win over. At least that's my theory. I think it's a good theory. But I don't think it's the church's place to enable somebody to continue their drug addiction. Anybody else with me on that? Okay, just checking. You see, we need to help people who really have need. And guess what? This lame man, laid by the gate beautiful, he really needed help. You see, he needed help. And he was asking alms. The problem was he asked a couple of poor preachers. See, that's a problem. He wanted some help. He needed some money. He needed some alms. The problem was he asked a couple of guys that didn't have any silver or gold. But they had something far better. He needed somebody to care. Psalm 142, verse 4. Psalm 142, 4 says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. And what a sad thing when there's nobody, you can't find anybody who will care. That's awful. And if anybody comes into contact with somebody from Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, they should come across somebody who cares. Who cares? What did he say? For my soul. We ought to care for the souls of men and women and boys and girls all around us. And so don't take all of those reasons we need to be careful about helping people keep you from helping anybody. When you see somebody in need, you pray about it, you be spirit-led, and if you're just not really sure, then help them anyway, because you're going to be better off in the long run. So then they had pity on the man. Let's go back to our text. Okay, look back at verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms. And Peter, get this, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They had pity on him. When he came, he thought he would receive an alms. He was looking to get something from them, an alms, an offering, a handout, if you will. And Peter, when he walked by, he fastened his eyes on him. When Peter walked by, he saw the man. He cared enough to look out and see the man that was in need. This is absolutely critical, because here's the way most of us live our lives. When we get up and leave our house, we put the blinders on and we're focused on what we've got to do. I got to get to work. I got to do this. And when I get off work, I got to go over here. I got to do that. And I got to go over here and do that. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to hurry so we can get to church on time. After church, we got to home, get the kids in bed because we got to get up. Got to go to school. Got to do this. Got to do that. And most of us are living our lives like this. We're just running. And we put our blinders on and we don't see other people. We don't see people in need. We don't see the hurting people around us. We don't have time for all that. I'm too busy for that. But Peter, when he walked into the temple, he had a job to do. He had something he was going there for. He had a purpose in going to the temple that day, but it didn't keep him from fastening his eyes on somebody that was in need. Listen, we're all busy. Just a real quick poll. Is there anybody here that's not busy? I'd like to see your hands.
I'm retired.
Two. Well, there's lots of retired people here, but they're busy. I got two. I hear two. Two people. Two people say they're not busy. A lot of retired people I know are more busy now than they were when they had jobs. They actually work harder now than they did when they had jobs. Okay. All right. You've heard that. Listen, we're most of us, exceptions noted, most of us are busy. And most of us are too busy to notice other people in need. If we're too busy to notice other people in need, then we're too busy. Do you know why most people in America are busy today? We're busy trying to pay for all the stuff we can't afford. We live in a culture today where we are all busy living above our means. And if we could learn to live within our means, it would change our lives. We want to have more house than we can afford. We want to have better vehicles than we can afford. We want to have more gadgets and toys and electronics and subscriptions than we can afford. We want to have all this stuff that we can't afford. And so we live from paycheck to paycheck to try to whittle down debt because we're trying to live outside of our means, and it would change our lives. By the way, the next time you get upset with the government for having such a huge debt, but you know why that is? Because our government is run by Americans who have lived their lives outside of their means. And so they get in government, and you know what they do? They run the government outside of its means. And by the way, this is for free financial advice for you tonight. You should feel very blessed. You cannot borrow your way out of debt. What you're doing is digging a deeper hole. I say, well, what do? Stop spending so much money. Amen. I'm preaching to myself tonight. I know something about debt. I'm quite familiar with it. And that debt comes from spending more money than you make. Amen. I know this is deep stuff, but maybe you should take notes. We're so busy because we're trying to make a dollar, because we're trying to spend $1.20 on stuff that we don't have. You know, the stuff that we think we got to have. I'm just saying, we've got to learn. And I think that's one of the reasons we have a hard time helping other people is because we haven't been very good stewards of what God's given us. And you please notice that I said us and we. I'm putting myself right there with you. Perhaps most of the folks who came across the lame man's path through the years did what came naturally. I've seen this a million times. You know what I've noticed about it's even in my own nature, but I see this with people all the time. When they see somebody who's disabled, I mean, this is a crippled man. He's a lame man. He's laying there. It's very obviously he's got something wrong with him. You know what I notice about people when they see somebody who's disabled? They look the other way. Now, there's something in us that just, I don't know, we feel sorry for them or whatever, and then we think, well, I don't want them to think I'm staring at them or whatever. Let me just help you out real quick. The best thing in the world you could do when you come across somebody who's got a disability is treat them just like anybody else. Amen. Treat them like anybody else. Look at them. Talk to them. Look them in the eye. Care about them. And that's what's amazing about this is when Peter saw this guy, he fastened his eyes on him. He fastened his eyes on him. He saw him. When you look at people, what do you see? If you're honest, when we look at people, we see the kind of vehicle they drive. We see the kind of clothes they wear. We see the color of their skin. We make determinations about the kind of person they are based on the way that they look. If we're honest, that's the way most of us are. And it goes both ways. Some people, when they see somebody who they think looks a little scary, maybe they got tattoos all over and piercings and they just kind of look scary, they look at them a certain way. But I've been amazed because I know a lot of people who got a lot of tattoos and piercings and stuff like that. And you know what? When they see me and I got my polo, my collared shirt on and I try to look nice, you know what? They look at me different too. It's an amazing thing that happens when you just are friendly to people, no matter what they look like, they'll be friendly back. It's incredible. And it was so stupid about all of us is they're looking at you thinking you're judging them and you're looking at them thinking they're judging you. And if you would just be nice to them, it would be amazing what results of that would be. I know this. So we see people, but what we've got to do is, like I said a moment ago, we've got to see them as they really are. They're men and women with eternal souls who need a Savior. We got to look past all the outside stuff and just see people as human beings who have souls that Jesus died for. Right? Thank you. Lamentation 3:51 says, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city." Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. His heart was broken for the city of Jerusalem. His heart was broken for the people of Israel. His heart was broken, and he said, when I see them, it affects my heart. Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, was moved with compassion on them. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So they cared enough to see the man. They cared enough to look on him. Then they cared enough to lift him up. And look back at our text. Peter, fastening his eyes on him, verse 4, with John said, "Look on us." Verse 5 says, "And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." Isn't that good? "Listen, man, I don't have any money, but I got something even better." Right? Listen, give him a few coins and whatever. He's good for a little while. But when healing came from Jesus Christ, now he's a new man. By the way, so he cared enough to look at him. Then he cared enough to lift him up. He put his hand out and he grabbed his hand and he lifted him up. And the Bible says that immediately his legs and ankle bones received strength. And this is amazing. How many of you have ever watched healing? Hold on, everybody, make sure you catch the air quotes. Healings on TV or the internet or anything. Anybody ever see that? Okay. I'm going to tell you, it's really, in case you didn't know, that's not real. Just in case you didn't know. You'll say, "Well, how do you know? How it's not right of you to judge." Well, here's what I'm going to tell you tonight. Make sure you understand plainly. God has the power to heal anything. God can do miracles. But God does not do miracles through the hands of men anymore. Not since the Bible was finished. He doesn't do that. And if you don't think it's fake, just watch some of it. You don't have to take my word for it. Watch it. You can see. And these people, it's a put on, it's a show. They plant people in the crowd. They do all of that nonsense. It's just a show. And then if they ever do get some poor soul up there who really does have a problem, it's awful. I told you about the man who had the broke neck. He just had surgery. His neck bones were bolted together. And this idiot preacher tells him to move his neck around. He can't move his neck around. It's bolted. So the preacher grabs his head and rolls it around. I thought he was going to kill him. The guy was about to pass out in pain. It was awful. And stuff like that happens all the time. If they don't have a plant or they don't have some kind of trick that they can do, it's ridiculous. And then they get those guys up there to put on the show, and the guy gets out of the wheelchair and he staggers around a little bit and gets a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. Guess what? When God healed people, it wasn't like that. Amen. Do you notice that word there? It's right in the middle of the screen. Immediately. Do you know what that word means? It means immediately. And here's what's incredible. This man who had never walked before. And I want you to get this, because sometimes we just read over this stuff. But you, a lot of you guys have kids and grandkids, and one of the greatest things in the world is to watch your kids develop like that. And you guys have seen Magdalene running around the church now, and it thrills my heart, because it took a long time for that kid to just roll over. Right? Amen. And then she started crawling. And then she started grabbing a hold of stuff and pulling up. And then she'd, you know, she'd get at the edge of something and try to reach for something else and take that, you know, that step. Amen. And now she's running all over the place, and you're like, why don't you just crawl again? Right? She's opening doors and going everywhere. We got to keep all the outside doors locked now because she got out in the garage and was out in the driveway the other day. Where's Maggie? Oops. This little boy, when he was a baby, never crawled. He never pulled up. He never took those first little tentative steps. You guys get this, because when you grow up, you have to learn to walk. From the time he was born, he never even stood up. He never walked. Now he's a grown man. And I want you to look at what the Bible says. Immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. Verse 8 says, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Listen, he didn't have to learn how to walk. He jumped up. He leaped up. And then he started walking. He just walked into the temple with them. He'd never walked anywhere before. And he's not just walking. This is so cool. He's jumping around. Guys, this is what God does when he touches a life. It's a dramatic change. It's an immediate change. It's a miraculous change. That's what God does. Not some shuckster on the TV or internet. This is the real deal. This is the word of God. And when he said, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. He grabbed him by the hand, and as soon as he stood up, he could stand. And as soon as he stood up, he could walk. And as soon as he walked, he could leap. All of that was there immediately. Amen. And praise God, all the people saw it. Man, we can't do the things that Jesus could do. We cannot raise the dead. We cannot walk on water. We cannot cleanse lepers. We cannot make lame men able to walk, or blind men able to see, or deaf men able to hear, or mute men able to speak. We cannot do any of those things. But what we can do is take people by the hand and lead them to Jesus Christ. Amen. We can do that. Amen. We've been commanded to do that. We've been empowered to do that. And we can find people who are spiritually lame, and we can introduce them to Jesus Christ. And spiritually, where they could not even stand, then they can run and leap and walk and praise God and have a testimony in this world. When you lift somebody up, when you care enough to get involved, we are living like Jesus. And we lift people up in different ways. Listen, you're not going to miraculously heal somebody. You're not going to do that. You can pray for somebody, and God can do that, but you're not going to do that. And I get it. There's people who don't like that kind of preaching, but this is the truth. God has the power to heal. People don't. But we can lift people up in different ways. Did you know just saying a kind word to somebody can lift them up? There's enough negativity in the world. You come along with a kind word and you're sincere, it can change somebody's life. Did you know a thoughtful act can lift a person's burden? Doing something kind for somebody, caring enough for somebody to think about them and do something to help them can lift their burden. Did you know that sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody can lift them right up into heaven? Look at verse 7. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Look at verse 19 real quick. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Listen, everybody who came to the temple walked by that man. They'd seen him there for year after year after year. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, they saw this man sitting there. And when they saw this man standing, leaping, running, and praising God, and they saw him walking with Peter and John, they were amazed because they knew him. And there was no denying the miracle that had been done. And they all ran together, and they were just amazed. They didn't even know what to think. They didn't know what to say. And Peter said, "What are you looking at us like that for, like we did something?" Let me tell you, this is great. Quit looking at me. This is not us. Who do you think we are? Let me tell you who did this. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our fathers, he sent his son Jesus, the one that you denied. The one that when Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man at all. Who do you want me to release to you?" You chose a murderer. And you delivered Jesus, the Son of God, up to be crucified. And it's in his name, through faith in his name, that this man is standing here right now. If you never understood why God allowed those men to do miracles, this is a perfect picture of it. You see, they couldn't open up the Bible and say, "Look here, right here in the written word of God." They had to do miracles to prove that their message was from God. And so the miracle, the man is standing there. And they can then preach Jesus. And the people have no choice but to believe because they see the miracle. Obviously, you don't do that. You don't take a man who was born lame, who's lived his whole life unable to walk, and now he's suddenly jumping around the temple praising God. You don't say, "Oh, well, that didn't really happen." And if you go on to read the rest of the chapter and following, you'll find out that over 5,000 men were saved because this man was healed, and because Peter didn't take the glory for himself, he gave the glory to God. He pointed the people to Jesus, and he preached the gospel. He said, "Repent and be converted." What an incredible account in Scripture. And the whole purpose, this whole thing, this whole man's life, the whole time that he was unable to walk, I believe with all my heart, God allowed this man to suffer that for all those years for this one moment. Amen. This one moment in time when he would be introduced to Jesus and the power of Jesus Christ, when he would believe. The Bible says that he had faith in him. And because of that, 5,000 men were saved in one day. In a moment. Just as a side note, you might think about whatever kind of struggle you're going through in your life right now. Why would God let me go through this? Let me tell you why. God lets us go through trials and tribulations and affliction for his glory. And ultimately, he does it for our good. I promise you this, that man, the rest of his life, never once, I don't believe you could prove to me that he ever once got out of bed any day and didn't thank God that he could walk. How many days have you gotten out of bed and didn't thank God you could walk? Yeah. We're born with it. I've been walking since I was a little bitty boy. And we take it for granted. But you know what? This man never took it for granted, I guarantee you. Because Peter and John cared enough to see the man, because they cared enough to reach out to the man, that man's life was changed. That man had a new testimony. He was a new creature in Christ, and he was able to have a huge impact on many other people. This week, God's going to bring people into your path. Are we going to care enough to see them, to look out, to look outside of our own needs, to look outside of our own busyness, to look outside of our own desires? Are we going to care enough to look out? And then secondly, are we going to care enough to lift up? Are we care enough not just to see people and kind of feel bad for them, but are we going to care enough to look out on them and then do something to help them? And there's nothing more than you can do to help somebody than to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to get ready for a verse of invitation, if we could, tonight. And while they're coming, I'll ask you to stand with me. I want to tell you this. I feel like you do so many times. I'm assuming you do too. I see somebody who's maybe begging for some money or begging for some groceries or begging for whatever. And there's this little thing inside of me. I'm skeptical. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. But I tell you, I try to pray about it and ask God whether I ought to help them or not. And I'm going to tell you this. I've always been blessed in my heart when I help somebody. And there's no greater opportunity to share the gospel with somebody than after you've helped them. Because if I take somebody a bag of groceries and I say, here, I want you to have this. God's been good to us. Jesus Christ has been good to us. I want you to have this. And then I get to share the gospel with them, because I've never met anybody who wouldn't take a bag of groceries from me and not give me a couple of minutes to share the gospel with them. Somebody in the Walmart parking lot, somebody out here at the interstate, hitchhiking, whatever. There are people around us all the time. There are opportunities to help somebody physically, yes, but far more importantly, to help them spiritually by sharing Christ with them. We need to ask God to help us tonight to care for others. But you know what? There might be somebody here tonight that's spiritually lame. You can't really help somebody else because you've never come to Christ as your Savior. Listen to me, if you're not 100% sure that when this life's over, you'll be in heaven with God, you can know for sure, the Bible says. You can know you have eternal life if you'll repent of your sin and unbelief and believe, trust in Christ with all your heart. He'll save you and give you eternal life. If you need to make a decision for Jesus tonight, we want to invite you to come right now while we sing.